Special Agent John Utah, day number one in L.A. Welcome aboard. They're going over your personnel records. Very impressive.
Thank you.
You may very well have been in the top 2% of your class at Quantico, but quite frankly, son, out here you have exactly 0 hours of experience in the field.
You know nothing.
In fact, you know less than nothing. If you even knew that you knew nothing, that'd be something, but you don't.
Yes, sir.
You need a solid breakfast, Utah?
Sir?
All the food groups, avoiding caffeine, sugar. I like to make sure that all my people maintain sound cardiovascular fitness. We don't drink, and we sure as hell don't smoke.
Sir, I take the skin off chicken.
Good man.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, the last one of 2018 for December 30th, 2017, episode 363, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian, South Carolina, Dunaway.
Oh, I see what you did there with my last name. Yeah. I live there. Yeah. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hey, young and dumb and full of gum. Who told you could park on my shooting range? Where's my whistle? Oh, well, hello there. You must be Catherine Bigelow's wet dream. I mean, I'm just saying, it's raining out here and you're full of, you know, you're fulfilling her artistic dreams. I mean, nothing perverse. Anywho, it's your turn to take aim at hilariously illustrated bad guys and gals here at the Sunday Funny Shooting Range, where it's funny to shoot stuff in the head or foot, because everybody knows foot trauma is the best form of humorous karma. Okay. Sammy Idaho or Billy Arkansas or whatever your deal is. If at any point you are looking California and feeling Minnesota, then just stop. Because at that point break, I have probably foreshadowed too far into the future. Oh. Come on, these are the 90s jokes, people. Come on, brah. Smile already. Oh, wow. 4 out of 5 dentist degree. That's creepy. Okay, yeah. Smiling, it ain't your thing. Now, where's my whistle? 100% sure you're going to take your shirt off in about 5 minutes if I don't get out of here.
It happened, too. Totally took your shirt off. Well done. That was great. Also with us, Randy Texas Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brah.
Hey, man.
It's basic dog psychology, brah. If you scare them, like, whoa, and get them peeing down their leg, dude, they submit. But if you project weakness, brah, that promotes violence, dude. And that's how people get hurt, bruh.
Were you watching this at like 0.5 speed?
Because it causes hesitation, bruh. And hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true, bruh.
Yeah.
Vibra con Dios, bruh.
A lot of bras in this show.
I hope you're able to get over the flu pretty quickly.
Yeah. Also with us, Brian Colorado Ibbett.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
So I was looking through the IMDb trivia section for Point Break, and I don't know if these are true or not, but right under where it talks about how Johnny Depp and Charlie Sheen were originally considered for the role of Johnny Utah, it talks about how Johnny Utah's character wasn't originally even going to be an FBI agent. So here are some of the other jobs that they were actually considering for Johnny Utah, and I'll deliver it like Keanu Reeves. I am a Central Intelligence Agency employee. Here's number two. I am a Ventura County police officer. Here's another one. I am a professional dog walker. I am a Subway sandwich artist. And my final one. I am a Hot Topic retail sales associate.
You're very also 90s. You're very full of gum as well.
Yeah. Very full of gum.
Gum. Yeah.
Gum. He says gum, right?
Yeah, it's gum.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it on late night TV on network. So yeah.
Yeah. Of course, it's gum. Absolutely. Sure, it was never anything. Sure. Nothing that rhymed with gum or any of those words. Hey, it's Catherine Bigelow's 1991 classic Point Break. Everybody. Now, normally I would play a Fletcher thing here, Did not get one from him this week. However,
my bad.
Got something even specialer or more special. So I'm going to just play it now. Why not? In lieu of that, Jamie, people know this dude from TMS mashups, made a little special Scott Fletcher thing for us.
No.
And it's pretty great. So, to celebrate Point Blank and a year Blake. Of Film Sack Blake.
Point Blake.
Point Blake.
Who is Blake? I love Point Blake. Blake
actually.
Point Blake and his, he's full of gum. Here's the Scott, the Scott Fletcher supercut I give you. Here you go.
Hello. Hey.
And I got good levels. Good levels. Yes. Stand back. Boom. Night of the Comet.
Well, where is it? There we go. Right there. And the thing and the whatnot.
Shall we play a game? If I wasn't about to my pants, I'd be fascinated.
Warriors, come out to play. Reverend, you've got balls as big as church bells.
Fed up with their sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical. How much mouth noise can I make in this recording? Never drum on a white lady's boobies at a big redneck dance.
She's a breath of fresh ass.
Directed by. Now I'm self-conscious.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
I can do better.
Directed by Guillermo del...
Damn it.
Unless you want this Fu Manchu blown back to the 60s, you better the back off. You better back the off.
I can't believe I screwed that up.
Flash. Ah! He'll save every one of us.
I feel the need. The need for homoerotic volleyball.
Woo! Ungrateful bitch.
You better watch out, mister, or I'm gonna kick your ass.
Mortal Kombat!
I guess you knew it would end this way.
Okay.
Oh, that was fun. I want to start using the phrase like a breath of fresh ass.
All right, but you have to do it the way he does it, which is that's like a breath of fresh ass. The way he emphasizes ass is so good.
Since we only get like little bits every week, you forget how great all those are.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. And he does that stuff live in front of people and then records the blooperies and then saves them apparently because that's how Jamie got a hold of him. And it's fantastic. So hats off to both Jamie for the incredible thing he made there and also Scott Fletcher for living and existing in our lives. Mm-hmm. All right. Point Blank. It's Point Break. Point Break is what I meant to say. Okay. I don't remember much, it turns out. I've seen this a couple of times, but I have like this weird limited memory of it because in my head, Anthony Kiedis and his whole little side gang mm-hmm. were way more in this movie than they are. They're barely in it. Like,
yeah. Nah, brah, not at all.
Just two altercations.
And that was it. That's totally shocked me. Yeah.
While we're on the subject of that, there is something for me that's intensely satisfying about watching a member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers get punched in the face.
Yeah.
So good.
Any member will do.
Yeah.
Any member will do. Yeah.
It could be Flea, it could be Anthony Kiedis, or those other two.
And the rest.
And the rest.
What surprises me is that he was able to get stunt casting in 1990 when this film was made. Like that kind of surprises me because I think of the Red Hot Chili Peppers as being a bit later than that. But
sure, I mean they had their thing, right? But they weren't. You're right that they weren't that big. This would be like REM in 1984 in Athens, Georgia, like mm-hmm. small right. and local and whatever. But yeah, they were about to blow up.
By the way, there is some interesting trivia about Anthony Kiedis' performance in Point Break. Basically, the stunt coordinator, fight coordinator, gathered everybody together for the fight scenes to teach them like how to fight. And it was specifically for that fight where Utah has the surfboard and he's kind of getting ganged up on by Kiedis and his boys.
Mm.
And he gathered everybody together to teach him how to do the fight. The only one who didn't show up was Anthony Kiedis, and that's why Anthony gets knocked out first, and you don't see for the rest of the fight. Basically, it was the fight coordinator's way of saying, "All right, well, you don't show up to fight practice. You're taken out first."
That's great. Now, yeah. I wonder. This is just a tiny thought. Sure. You guys we can argue about this, or perhaps I will be. It'll be lamented that I even brought it up.
I'm going to start to roll up my sleeves right now.
All right. This movie is regarded by many I know who I would say that they live in the dude bro existence.
Yeah.
The kind of like, dude, man, this chicks are lame, dudes are awesome kind of world. And are kind of
misogynistic surfers.
Okay, a little bit, sure. Whatever. Yes. Who probably don't know Catherine Bigelow made this movie. They probably don't know that a woman made their favorite dude bro movie. Right. And not only made it, but I think aptly made it. Like she's a bona fide action director. She's great at it. Yeah. And now an Oscar winning and nominated and otherwise highly respected director of such things as Zero Dark Thirty and Hurt Locker and stuff like that. Yeah. but she's awesome. And I just wonder how many people don't actually know. Like, I think there's going to be a surprise for some people who are like, oh, one of my favorite movies ever is that back when men could be men and whatever. But dude,
well, I had totally forgotten this was a Bigelow film until I saw the opening credits. And I've seen this film maybe, I'd say I'd be surprised if I've seen this thing any less than 15 times.
Oh,
seen
my. Right. Jeez.
It's one of those things that, like, if I'm flipping through the channels, I don't own it. Well, I didn't own it until recently when Dunaway and I bought Blu-ray copies. Mm. But it would be one of those things that prior to streaming, if I was flipping through, you know, and saw that it was on HBO or one of our multiple HBO channels back when we had cable, I'd put it on. So I very rarely saw the beginning of the film, honestly. It was a lot of seeing like the last 3/4 of the film. There was a lot of the first part of the film that I don't remember. I don't remember the swimming pool and Gary Busey and the jumping in and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I had practically forgotten about Gary Busey.
Oh, story. Oh man. As a character in this, you mean, or in general in your life?
Yeah. Okay. I remember the character. I just didn't remember it being Gary Busey for some reason. Mm. And I haven't watched this movie probably in about 5 years. Mm. I've seen it plenty of times, just not recently until this viewing.
Yeah.
Now this was right around the time that she and Cameron were splitting up. It was like 1991. Mm-hmm. They were only married from 89 to 91.
Yeah. And it's not credited, but this movie was co-written by the two of them. So it's possible that this is the movie that they had the worst part of their relationship during.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. Yeah.
So who knows?
But I didn't even take a shirt off. That's it. We're done.
I mean, this is our second Bigelow film. Do you remember the first?
Oh, we haven't done Strange Days yet, which I want to do real bad.
That's what I was going to say. I thought we did.
No, that one got pulled.
What was the one with the hackers and it was called Hackers?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
You're thinking of Hackers.
It was the one with the hackers.
Well, the one where they had the shoes. What was that one called? It was the Sneakers. That's it.
I just had my own Guitar Hero moment there.
Yeah.
What was the movie about the Titanic again?
What was that called? That's pretty funny. No, that's a cool movie. We should see Strange Days if we can ever get it in.
Right.
Yeah.
It's such a weird vision of 1999 that didn't come true like at all, but I still actually think it holds up despite the fact that we lived through it and it didn't. I think it may even been her second or her next movie after this, maybe. I'm not sure about that.
Mm. Okay.
But sorry, Randy, you were talking.
Catherine Bigelow is a wonderful area. Like, I'd like to watch Blue Steel with you guys. I'd like to watch K-19 The Widowmaker with you guys, just because it's called K-19 The Widowmaker. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that over and over and over.
Is that that's the submarine one with Harrison Ford? Am I thinking of? Okay. Yeah, I never saw that. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
It feels like we also need to watch Near Dark.
Did you guys see Near Dark?
No.
Did you guys watch that?
No.
Oh, yes.
I'm just looking at it right now. It's a Western
horror. I always liked Catherine Bigelow, and then I saw Near Dark and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the rawest of Catherine Bigelow, I believe.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me she made it's a 87
87 yeah. Western,
it's a Western
film.
Zombie
with
movie
with Bill Paxton and Lance Paxton. Freaking Henriksen.
It's so good and like in a way that makes it so good.
No, I'm all in. We don't even have to ever ask me.
right.
exactly.
Oh, I'm so excited. 87. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't see this until this past year. It was on some streaming service that I was like, hey, what is this? Bill, I think it was after Paxton died, and I was going down a Paxton rabbit hole. And I came across this one, and I was like, wait, Gavin Bigelow did this. And okay. It's interesting. You got to watch it.
Look at the Lance Henriksen in his like lone survivor suit looking Western mm-hmm. clothes. Oh, you guys. Mm-hmm. All right. Get that in the column over there, because that sounds great. She's super interesting, though. And the relationship, despite the fact that they got divorced or, you know, could no longer love one another, they continued to work together, and he remained like producing partner for a long time, I think, on mm-hmm. her projects and stuff. I don't know what that relationship's like now, if they still work together at all. Probably not. Probably don't need to. But I think she is one of my favorite action directors, in that every shot in Point Break, in Strange Days, in Hurt Locker, all these movies, there's something about her style that is really, really appealing. I love it. It feels smart action, smart shots, incredibly well-paced movies. Like, if you could say one thing about Point Break and its rewatchability, it's the pacing. It just feels like it's got a great rhythm. You go boom, boom, boom. You're in, you're out. You know, it's so
beautiful for extreme kind of sports of this time, because I wasn't really, you know, during the 90s, I was like, yeah, whatever, surfing. I don't know. This is not my thing. And you know, skydiving, all this stuff is such testosterone-driven crap. But she made this movie, even back then, something that I wanted to watch. Just visually, it brings that world artistically without making you feel like, I don't know.
Let's give
like
some credit. Let's give credit to Donald Peterman.
Absolutely.
The cinematography is what we're talking about, and he was responsible for Star Trek IV. He was responsible for Men in Black. You know, this is one of the greatest.
You're just proving that Catherine Bigelow was a bigger part of that than.
What are you saying? You're not a big Men in Black fan. Is that what you're saying? Well, here,
I'm saying it's good. I'm just saying, you know.
I'm saying, look at this pen.
When I think of Men in Black, I don't go, ooh, cinematography.
I want you to stare at this pen and
pay attention to it. Yeah, it's remarkable.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, and there's lots of good parts to it. I just don't know if the cinematography ever really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Well, I never knew the cinematography stood out to me for Point Break, and I was amazed at how often the camera was moving into places that I wasn't expecting it to go.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. Sure. By the way, Lake Powell, used prominently in the skydiving scene, was a place I went like, I don't know, 7 or 8 times a year with my family. We were always mm-hmm. there, and they were on I could tell they were even on the bullfrog side of it, not the wall weep side. And it made me long for those days, and makes me want to go back. A lot of that's covered in water now, because the way the water works there is super weird. You end up, well, actually, maybe lower now. Actually, I don't know.
What does the water do? Is it?
Does it go up? It goes down. You can't explain that.
But let's get right to it. This movie has one of the greatest action sequences of the time. It's, you know, been surpassed surely, but like at the time, everyone was just blown away by that skydiving scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know, like mm-hmm. for a movie about surfing, the skydiving scene just takes your breath away for a minute straight. It's amazing.
Yeah, it holds up too. Like, it doesn't look fake or weird. It's real. Like, there's skydiving people, and
as everybody, there's skydiving people, so it's totally believable. I was watching that scene, and I was going, I've never been skydiving, so I don't know how exactly it works, but are skydivers upset? Can you communicate verbally?
No.
When you're rushing through air like that?
No, that's
horseshit.
I'm sure
it had annoyed them.
Yeah, that was horseshit. Yeah. There's no way they could do that.
No. And they talked about that in the making of as well. Patrick Swayze was saying, yeah, when you're skydiving, and he apparently big skydiver after this, and even before this, like doing all his own stunts, and he's done some, you know, over 50 jumps, that sort of thing. And he says, yeah, there's no way we'd be able to have that conversation of, you pull my shoe, Johnny. I'm not going to pull it. You're going to have to drop the gun to pull the shoe, Johnny.
Yeah, it's that. Clearly it was movie stuff. But I was reading that, too. He apparently went on to become like loved the sport of skydiving. Keanu Reeves kept surfing, even though it was the first time he'd ever surfed.
Every day.
Yeah, he would go surfing all the time and still does to this day, I guess, except now he shoots people in the head as he does it and then flips a coin and then stays at a weird hotel. But anyway, he, you know, it's cool. I always like to hear about a movie where something began for an actor and then they kind of kept doing it, you know, outside of their acting. I always think that's
early on for Keanu Reeves, so young.
Yeah.
So that logic, though, Scott, all of your favorite villains, man, they've just had to go on killing people in real life.
Well, depends. Like, if it's, let's think about that. If it's, you know, it's like, I hear Aaron Eckhart still likes to flip coins a lot. He's way into that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily right. that the things the villain does.
Right. So it's more like the skills stuff. You might pick up, because they had to go through a lot of training. Even this one, they had to do a lot of training for surfing and that kind of stuff. So yeah, so skills like Liam Neeson, he probably, you know, uses his skills on a daily basis.
he calls his daughters and says, now they're going to take you all the time. Right. That's what he does. Actually, you know what? I'm going to make an admission here. I'm actually kind of excited to see his commuter thing that's coming out. Did you guys see trailers for this?
Yeah, taking on a train in reverse.
Totally. Yeah. It's
I know it is. It is taking a train, basically, is what it is. Taking a train.
I love that stuff. I don't know what the deal is. Obviously, someone likes it, or he wouldn't be making them, and they wouldn't do well. But
we all like it, Scott. We all go see it. We complain, but we still go watch it.
That's great, man. Schindler getting his due in his later years. I love it. Yeah. The guy deserves it. Anyway.
So how was Keanu during this movie? That would have been, he was born in 64, and it was 91, right?
So he'd been 25 or 20.
Just like he says in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, this would have been also, is that, okay. So I used to think of Speed as his big first foray into action movies, because up to then it was just like, dude, and you know, skinny little long haired guy. But I always thought Speed was it. And no, it's not. It's this. This is it.
This was the first one?
I think so.
Was before this, like Bill and Ted,
which was action comedy. Liaisons.
Yeah, right. But not like he didn't need to be buff. Action, no. He didn't need to be buff for it, though, right?
No,
like, Keanu
Reeves. So this is kind of the Point Break of his movie, and he's like, it's action, baby.
Yeah.
By the way, this released 1 week before Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. So both these films, both those films were out at the same time.
Well, and his hair at the end is because he was doing some filming. So, and Patrick Swayze was filming some other thing, and that's why his hair was short.
He cut it short because it was convenient because they didn't have to throw up a and time passes or 6 months later. They just went, here's your time frame. Here's Keanu. He's got longer hair. There's your time.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing there is that they try to get you to believe they're in Australia. Hanging some signs all over a little Oregon beach town.
And you pass by an Australian, right? Or a guy with a bad Australian accent.
Nobody going out there today. It's
nobody except those hundreds of people on the beach.
And actually, I would have done better if they had shut up, if they hadn't tried to convince me it was Australia.
Oh, I don't know.
Right.
I want to hear more about the unclaimed piece of meat in...
Oh, he didn't make it, man. He didn't make it. So everybody died except for Bodie. So, But my fiance, we were watching this. This was her first viewing of this. And at the very end, it must have been so good to her. She said, is there a part two? So it was really good, or it didn't wrap up the thing she wanted to.
Oh, I see. Did you dig deeper and find out?
I didn't want to know.
Okay.
I honestly would have really liked it. Part two, like a sequel to this, you know? And
somehow...
Point Breaker.
Well, they were clearly, Brian, they were clearly setting it up for it. He takes his badge off and chucks it, and he's storming off into the night. And then that Rat song that never appeared on any Rat albums played.
That was great.
And then in your head, I'm going, oh, well, of course, sequel. Of course, we're going to get to, you know, now he's a rogue. He's gone rogue now, and has left him scarred. Yeah. And what are we going to do next? And then he never followed up with it. But
could we pretend that John Wick is the sequel to Point Break?
Dude, I pretend John Wick's the sequel to everything.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. That's not allowed, because in Point Break, John Wick kicks a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, and they do that here too.
Well, he throws a dog.
No, he kicks the Keanu kicks the dog.
That's right.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze throws it.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze throws the dog. Keanu Reeves sort of catches the dog.
punts him.
It does seem like one of the dumbest like ways to slow the guy who's chasing you down, doesn't it? Like you gotta like go around the yard and catch that dog, pick him up, and then wait by the door.
Yeah, come here, boy. Come here for a second. Come here, and then pick him up and huck him. It's so dumb. And
we're to be believed while he's holding that dog, waiting at the door. The dog is going.
Yeah, and don't forget,
so my favorite.
That dog would lose its mind because Ronald Reagan rubber mask is holding him. It's not just Keanu Reeves.
That was my favorite part of the movie. I gotta say, I did have to watch all through the credits to make sure there was the Humane Society notification at the end.
Was there a thing?
You had to have that. You can't throw a dog in the middle of the movie and then have him yip and bark and not have some kind of disclaimer at the end.
I guess so. I don't know. It seemed like he caught him okay and set him down. Or what did he do? I can't remember.
Oh, he kicked him.
Oh, that's right.
They implied he kicked because anything football related. By the way, quarterback. if he could do anything football related, doesn't matter if he was a quarterback, he can do all the other things too.
Yeah.
You ever seen a quarterback tackle? They don't do it well.
No, they're awful at it. They barely can run. Right. The ones that can run are like, oh my gosh, make sure you draft that guy. But outside of that, it's like, no, they're not the multi-skilled.
I'm not saying that Johnny Utah is not the exception. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah. Also,
I had to use up a little movie magic to watch that part.
I've spent a lot of time figuring out how Johnny Utah could have become the Baba Yaga, and I just don't. I can't get from one to the other.
The Baba Yaga? What's
that? I just can't. I can't get from one to the other because there's things in this movie that are like I didn't realize until this viewing. And I'm with Scott, by the way. I don't remember anything about this movie before this viewing. Like, so weird. Mm. I'm watching this movie and it's just like, this is all new to me. I'm sure I've seen it. Yeah. I think it was partially obscured by Hot Fuzz. Anyway,
weird.
The watching of this film, I was shocked at how often I was mad at Johnny Utah for not being the good guy. Like he gets Gary Busey killed. Like he could have.
He does. Oh, I was so mad.
Totally does.
He has a choice, basically, or he thinks he has a choice between some girl that he just met, who, by the way, also broke up with him.
Yeah.
And
Tank Girl.
She came back.
Yeah, well, listen, she's going to be Tank Girl. She'll be very useful in the post-apocalyptic future.
I'm amazed that, you know, when you see her at the end and she's running towards Johnny, like embracing him and you know, hugging him and stuff after being held by Rosie, you'd think that she'd be really ticked off because he's the reason that she's locked up.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was expecting. I was waiting for the punch.
Yeah.
Because he'd already been punched like 12 times in the movie. I was waiting for that one last punch.
Well, I assume at the end when he goes to Australia and there's the storm and he's about to watch Swayze go kill himself in the waves, that she's no longer in the picture. His hair's longer. He looks kind of disheveled. Well,
he's been busy like traveling around the world, apparently looking for unclaimed pieces of meat.
I definitely felt like there was a part two in mind because, first of all, what great conflict would it be? The fact that he got his partner killed in the first one when he was so young and having to deal with that. And then, you know, of course, they got rid of the love interest so he can go ahead and have the new love interest for part two. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm amazed. I really was amazed that he'd still have his badge at the end of that because, you know, McGinley's about to just lock him up for being an accessory to murder.
He
could have gotten out of that.
Right.
But then he was responsible for Busey getting killed because he wanted to protect a girlfriend. And it seems you're kind of out of the FBI now.
The whole end scene, I was already done with my allotted movie magic allocation because I was so spent. I was like, okay, first of all, you just told me it was in Australia. There's no way that the entire FBI office would have flown down to Australia after you went through a globetrotting trots to find Swayze. And then we all fly up in helicopters. I'm like, that ain't going to happen.
If you wanted to just list off all of the FBI doesn't do that for this movie, we could just spend the rest of it. If I was the FBI, I would hate this movie so much because between the boss from Scrubs and Gary Busey, there's a whole range of they don't do that. They don't everything depicted. They don't do it's like basically everything.
What are you telling me? And if in a fit of anger, an FBI agent wouldn't shoot his gun into the air 8 times But
that was such a Kylo Ren moment, right? I mean,
yeah, he was losing it. That's a good way to put that, a Kylo Ren moment. I like that.
Yeah, that totally was.
Now, I love McGinley. He does the doctor from Scrubs. He is like the perfect angry guy, and you couldn't find an angrier perfect chief.
I keep wanting to see that show he's on Stars, is it? Or
it's so good. Yeah, yeah. Stand Against Evil.
Really good. It's supposed to be great. Really, yeah, like kind of like Evil Dead, but not quite. A little, you know, I don't know. Like normal guy has to save the world from zombies.
Right. He's so bitter about it, and so it's fun.
He's great. I like that guy a lot.
I don't know that I believe in the same FBI that this movie believes in. Like, Johnny in Utah is fresh out of the FBI Academy. That's what's stated.
Right.
And he's, you know, within a few days, he's like shooting a gun in a street at a car. And I'm like, it's the Federal Bureau of Investigation, right? Like, they're not.
Right, right. They do take some liberties. I can't speak for the surfing community because I don't know how many of those are bank robbers, but. I'm just saying, yeah. On the FBI side, I probably have a little more relatability, and I agree with you.
The surfers are such a like theme gang gone to extreme.
And when does the DEA land in town and have a serious investigation about a meth ring and not notify or communicate with the FBI and then get pissed?
Yeah.
When there's covers blown.
Do you see who that was, by the way? Do you see who that was?
That's on you, brother.
You see who that actor was? That was a very young.
Was he even credited?
No, he's not. That's what's weird. It's what's his name? Who was with Heidi Fleiss and had all the drug problems? Can't think of his name.
This is the second movie we've seen with him where he wasn't credited. Wasn't he just in Rounders as well?
Yes. Was he credited though? I don't remember if he was not credited.
I don't know who we're talking about.
No, I know. I gotta find his name. I gotta find his name. Brian, you know his name. We've seen Tom Sizemore, thank you. That was Sizemore all pissed about the drugs.
Oh, Sizemore, yes, right. Yes.
Yeah.
And he wasn't credited in he just like works for free. I don't think he was credited in Rounders either, if I remember.
He works for drugs.
I might be wrong.
Those two packages of meth. He's like, I'll have these if you just let me act in your movie, I'll just take these for payment. And they said, okay, there you go. He's like,
he's always dealing with the drugs, isn't he?
Yeah, he's happy to be dealing with the drugs. He likes the drugs.
I
think he still likes the drugs, honestly. So, all right. Keanu Reeves, just to give you a little timeline here. He was fresh out of, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was just 2 years before this. If you think about that, it's really weird.
Right?
Yeah, that's super close to 1990 when he was filming this. So he went from that to Action Boy pretty quickly. He also did between Bill and Ted, he did Parenthood and Excellent Adventure right before Point Break. So two Bill and Ted movies and Parenthood happened. I mean, things were blowing up for him. You just don't think about it.
Through the 90s, Keanu was just a force.
Yeah, and he didn't get to Speed till 94, which was another three-something years. Mm-hmm. And as far as he goes, that was from then on. He's, he becomes Neo. He becomes everything. He's the guy.
Right.
You know, he's your dude.
Man, if you want to see something interesting, watch Duke Keanu Reeves and David Letterman YouTube search and watch his interviews from about this time frame up to more recent. And the guy just matures so much and changes so much.
I have genuine affection for the guy because he's a good looking dude and doesn't seem to age, the bastard. Right. But that he just seems like the nicest human being. Like he's outside of this
it's
by all accounts.
That he is that way.
Yeah. And you see, there's that one hidden, somebody had a phone out and was, cause they were like, oh my gosh, he's on our subway with us. Keanu Reeves on the subway and they're filming him and a group gets on the subway and a lady standing there and he gets up and offers his seat and gets out of the way. And he's just like being this total gentleman and then stood the rest of the way. And like, he just seems like he's not normal Hollywood. He also seems a little sad sometimes, like he's just sort of sad.
Well, because of that old sad Keanu meme.
Yeah, so
that's what I like about it though, because he's like, I told you in my opening, that smile, I didn't like that. That was a little too creepy. Take that back, man. Bring
yeah
it back.
I don't like it either. It needs to be a little more serious. But I'm saying is I mean, the John Wick movies are freaking awesome.
They are great. I like Keanu Reeves a lot more since he got the beard. Like, I don't know what it is about the beard.
Yeah.
but he seems a lot more believable and likable. There was no part of this film where I honestly believed that he was an actual FBI agent.
Right. Or a human. For
even,
that.
Even when he yelled it at you, you just still didn't believe he was an FBI agent?
I still didn't believe him. I said, no, you're not, big silly.
This was, we've seen a lot of movies, and I can't think of a movie that was more young youth oriented. I mean, such a perspective that we're bringing Gary Busey in on our side, because Gary Busey just bends to the will of Johnny Utah, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is such a Gen X coming of age movie.
Oh yeah,
I don't think I've seen anything like this on film set.
And we're supposed to not be irritated as crap with him when he's talking to the director in surf talk and surf lingo and bringing his freaking surfboard into the office. Now I can understand, well, it won't fit in my car, I can't close the door. Okay, I understand that. Leave it in part of the office. You have to carry it the entirety of the FBI offices walking around there.
Yeah.
But truly a desk you can shove it under. Yeah. Come on.
Top Gun came first, right?
That's true. Yeah.
The riff on Top Gun over and over, really.
Sort of.
Yeah, but
yes.
Tom Cruise didn't carry his F-16 through the offices of.
What you got there, Cruise?
It's Tomcat. Sorry, yes.
He carried his jet fighter through the office. Oh, boy, Tom Skerritt. I remember that day Tom Skerritt was not having any because he walked through the building with his with his airplane.
This morning I caught my first spin. I don't know. Barrel roll.
My first tube or whatever. Yeah. Comparing it to Top Gun, everybody at Top Gun was speaking that same lingo. Oh, yeah. He came down past the hard deck and chased me down towards the rough scrabble and kicked me in the.
And almost as many shirtless scenes as well.
Almost. But this is like, no, I'm gonna not only, show up with my surfboard, but I'm going to talk in surfer lingo because I have to really immerse myself in the culture, the surf culture, to go undercover. And that means it's gonna invade my entire life. I'm going totally method as an FBI agent. To infiltrate this gang. No, you could easily turn that off when you get into the office and say, yes, sir, here's what we found in our investigation. Not, the waves were a little mushy the other day.
the waves were mushy. I like that.
That was that must have been a deleted scene.
Dude, yeah. Randy, did you ever get your point through before we started talking about mushy waves?
So a long time ago, something like 15 years ago, I went to a live Point Break at the Alamo Draft House, the original Alamo.
Did you bring your surfboard?
In Austin, Texas. It was the original Alamo used to have these things, these weird one-offs where you would go sing along or quote along or whatever. And in this particular one, it was a quote along where different people in the audience got to get up and deliver Keanu Reeves's lines while the movie was playing. Nice. And so you would get up at a mic and they'd hand you a card and then you would read the lines you'd try to time it. So you were reading his lines while he was speaking and they had him muted on the screen.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was wonderful. It was so funny because no matter how bad a person was at doing this, they were better than the professional actor who had done his job originally.
And I completely agree. He's not good in this. Let's just be honest. He's not Keanu Reeves. He's very young, but yes, he's getting by on his looks, his charm, and he's just got a thing about him that's hard to deny. I'll give him that. But he was not a good actor then at all. No. And I would even, today he's good enough. And he does fine, and it's and John Wick is great partly because
he picks better roles.
Well,
right?
Sure, but I think he's just he's just he's grown into his own, and it is what it is now. But back then, stilted.
Yeah. and by the way, to kind of piggyback on this, there was a stage show in Vegas in the Miracle Mile shops at Planet Hollywood, where they would put on the performance of Point Break, but for every every showing, they would pull a random person from the audience who would be Keanu Reeves for the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And he would read his lines from a card and kind of along the same lines of what you were talking about, Randy.
Oh, that's awesome.
I really wish Lori Petty, Tyler could have had a little larger role, because this is such a bro movie. This was absolutely a bro movie. Now, we got our girl movie the following year, A League of Their Own, with Lori Petty.
Oh, was that? That was that. Movie. I see, those feel like two different eras to me. Weird.
Yeah, right? Totally. No, right after. But I really hated that she was this kind of the damsel in distress, because she really did well, I thought, in this movie. For some reason, her voice annoys me and attracts me all the same time.
Yeah.
I can't define it.
She's an odd one, but I like her too. I find her really...
You see her in interviews and she is exactly the characters that she plays.
Yeah. And she's got this really cool shaved head look now that's super badass.
Cop thing, the Glass Shield series, or is she still doing that?
I don't know, but she was in... I just saw some pictures of her at a red carpet thing and she has this sort of shaved head look and it's just... She looks badass. She should be somebody.
She,
badass,
she does that good. Yeah. Yeah, she's got a good head for it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, really, you have to. Yeah, I don't have a good head for bald.
All right.
Ibbit, good head.
Good head. Brian gives. Wait, I better stop that sentence. Now.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Randy, I got a question for you. If you had, since you brought up the whole Keanu Reeves line delivery thing. Can you name, like, is there a Keanu Reeves movie where you look at it and go, oh, in this he's actually like good, like he really doesn't just
becomes a much better actor in his career for sure.
What do you point to as like maybe a turning point? What movie do you think was that for him?
Lake House.
Oh yeah, Lake House is pretty good.
I feel like that's the point where I'm like, oh wow, he actually is playing the role, and I'm not thinking of him as Keanu Reeves, the dude, bruh. Like, I'm now thinking of him. I'm not thinking of him. Is what I'm saying. I'm now getting the role. You know,
That's a guilty pleasure for me. That movie. Not everybody likes.
Same here. I don't. I have no problem with it. I like it. I don't know why the hate. I think people are weird about that movie. I think it's I mean, there's some plot holes in the time travel thing.
It's way after things like The Matrix and Constantine, where I feel like he was cast specifically to do his thing, you know, like he's cast in The Matrix to be Keanu Reeves, the lead, you know, not to be, you know, the character. And then he starts getting, he's coming into his own, like getting really good at playing this other thing, whatever it is.
Sure.
Oh, man, I love Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. Their chemistry, their own screen chemistry was just always
fantastic. Dude, Speed is one of the best things ever. Freaking love Speed. Yeah. My gosh. So I could watch. Speed is very rewatchable. I would almost put it on that.
How about Speed 2?
Speed 2 is infinitely unwatchable.
It's horrible. Is there a point, am I remembering incorrectly, but
Point Breaker?
Was there a point during Point Break when somebody says pop quiz to
I
Keanu?
Wish there was.
I thought I remember one, like Gary Busey saying pop quiz, but not saying hot shot. But
no, he did say, well, Keanu Reeves, the only time they referred to a test, because I thought the same thing. He said Keanu Reeves was showing Gary Busey some things and said, there'll be a test afterwards. And I was like, ha ha, pop quiz. And I said it to myself.
Yeah.
I said it to myself, but then I was like, oh,
that's probably what you're thinking of. Yeah. I thought of that too when that scene came around. So let's talk about actually him for a second. So Gary Busey is, he is a delightful human being. What a
God. I forgot how much I love Gary Busey from, especially during this time, but God, I love Gary Busey. I didn't realize I was such a fan.
Yeah. He's great. I don't know how many movies we've seen now. Do we have any idea on the count with him? It's got to be dozens.
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. And this is definitely him. And
give me two.
This is him at a period of his life where he's still got some, you know, he's got a little bit of gas in the tank, and him flying off of that diving board and a big dumb looking fat guy belly roll.
Hold on, trope alert.
All right. We got that. I got that right here.
We meet him blindfolded and we get the trope. Yeah. Oh, he's right behind me.
He's behind me. Right. It was a twist, but he was still behind me.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. That was pretty
good. You know
what
bothered me though about that scene?
Hmm.
Is that one eye was just a little bit uncovered. I don't know if Busey couldn't handle being fully blindfolded.
Right, I know. Well,
but it was annoying me.
Exactly. You can't make a blindfold that goes kind of diagonally to cover both of Gary Busey's eyes.
Not since the accident. He's really had a hard time having.
Apparently, this was his first movie after the accident.
Oh, was it?
Right.
Yeah. Well, he can't keep a straight face. I don't know.
He's still going to kick our asses.
He totally is.
Totally still could.
I have friends in the FBI that I should ask this question of, or a friend. Okay. I shouldn't say multiple. I know one guy who works in the FBI. I should ask him is there ever a day ever in the history of his training, follow-up, continued training, anything at the academy, whatever, where anyone threw bricks in a pool and made you go get them with a blindfold on? Blindfold. That seems like horse shit. Served up
it,
to me.
It does.
It does.
That's like swimming lesson stuff. Like they'll throw the little rings that float to the bar, the sink to the bottom of the pool, and then you have to go down and get them. Yeah. I don't think that's like
the story was. The story was definitely saying, "Look, the old guard is leaving. Here's something so new you haven't even seen it in reality." So it was a little bit of guessing.
Sure.
You know, and taking away the old guard and
you know, California FBI. I mean, they've got a lot of water and ocean stuff they got to contend with.
That is true. Maybe
they got to get those bricks, man.
Everybody has a pool in California. Apparently, that's where they hide their bricks.
Bricks are drugs.
Yeah, don't worry, ma'am. We're here to get your bricks. It doesn't seem that seemed dumb to me. But
your brick is drowning. I got it.
It adds to Randy's whole point that there was very little FBI going on.
I mean, there was this whole juxtaposition between, you know, the surfers versus the straight lace. I mean, they were very, very simple characters. There were very simple characterizations. Like whenever Keanu was in the FBI, when he was doing his FBI thing, he was eating constantly. Yeah. And you could see he was on the track to becoming an old FBI fat guy. But then when he was out with the other guys, you know, there was no eating really. It was a lot different. And it was these two worlds that he was trying to straddle and figure out where he needed to be in his place. And they definitely flattened the FBI, made it look very, you know, everybody's got their greased back pomade hair. And I guess it served the story somewhat.
Hey, do you guys want to hear some potential bullshit?
Yes, please.
We're going to give it some
scrutiny.
Here's some additional scrutiny to the IMDb trivia.
Oh, okay. Schwarzenegger.
You guys tell me if you think any of this is true.
Oh, I'll be able to verify some of this because some of that stuff was in the documentary. So.
All right. So here's one. This one seems likely. So I'll start with a softball. All right. So this is probably true. But anyway, while they're being trained for their surfing stuff in Hawaii, Patrick Swayze said he had been on a board a couple of times, so he'd tried surfing before, but wasn't very good at it.
Believable.
Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves definitely had never surfed before, but he'd been in the ocean. Lori Petty.
He lived in Hawaii, didn't he?
Keanu? I don't know. I know he's half.
No, it was filmed. Wasn't he born in Lebanon or something?
He was born in Lebanon, but I thought he like grew up. I guess not born in Hawaii, but like he lived in Hawaii as a kid, I thought. But maybe not,
How, Randy, is that believable, Randy?
Yeah, dude.
Like everybody in Hawaii claims Keanu Reeves. So just so you know.
All right.
They all Hawaiian claim national him. Treasure Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves, yeah. Sure. Lori, it does say, it says Lori had never been in the ocean in her entire life. So she hadn't even been
I believe
in the water.
That. Look at her.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Look at her.
Why?
She's so pale.
Oh, you mean because the sun, she hadn't been out in the sun, you mean? I got it.
Right, right.
I thought the water had something to do with it. I see what you
here
mean.
Here we go. She was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee. She moved to Sioux City, Iowa, where she graduated from high school and worked for several years as a graphic designer in Omaha, Nebraska, before pursuing acting. I'd say it's believable. Not in any of her growing
but
up
she,
ever.
She did look nice in that you know, suit.
Sure. No, she looked great. Very attractive lady. All right. Here's your next truth or not. The beach spot where the football game was played at the night during the nighttime there. And he tackled him into the waves by this reporting, the same exact beach spot used for the soccer game in The Karate Kid from 1984.
Oh, I would believe that. Yeah.
It did feel familiar, but all beaches feel like that to me in a movie.
It was also where they had the bonfire in The Lost Boys.
What?
And it was also the same beach. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know.
How do you confirm that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Here's the worst one.
Shot location records. Okay. Let's go look.
This one sounds like garbage. Matthew Broderick was originally offered the role of Johnny Utah.
No. God, that would have been horrible. But it would have been fun, too, because he would have been such a fish out of water, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. And then here are the others who auditioned. This is where I get weird. Johnny Depp, maybe. I could maybe see it.
Yes. Confirmed. McGinley confirms that Johnny Depp and Charlie Sheen both were considered for the role of Johnny Utah.
But neither one buff enough to take off
no,
the shirt.
No, I don't think.
Right?
Well, yeah, they would have been very different Johnny Utahs. Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, that one I feel like is garbage.
That seems like crap. Because why would you buy? Yeah, even when Willem Dafoe was in his teens, he looked like a used up piece of gum. Like, you're not going to. That's his strength in Hollywood, is that he's a right. weird, craggly old crazy person. You can't have him be your guy. Val Kilmer was the other one possible. I could see that.
He was still in good shape then. Yeah.
Yeah. He looked good.
When was his Batman? When was that? That was not.
Was well after this, but it was still 90. So it would have been 90. Yeah. In like 98, 97, something like that.
There are pictures. I can't go deep dive into it, but I wonder if there are pictures of Willem Dafoe as a teenager, because I can't imagine what Willem Dafoe looked like. Maybe not a teenager, but like in his 20s. Like, I can't imagine what the dude looked like in his 20s.
Teens. Let's see. I'm going to look it up.
Young. That's what you do. Willem Dafoe, young.
I wonder if it's even possible.
I could see him as a Brody, maybe. I don't know if I would.
I could see him as the guy. I could see him in the Busey role at some point.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
But that's maybe more now than
then. He's got his shirt off here, I see, in some Pinterest.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, he's all right.
And then in on, yeah, right? That would
believable
been awesome.
Is Utah, though?
Well, here, I'm going to send you guys this. This will be in your Discord there.
He's kept himself in shape.
Have a look at that image. That's an old...
there's a couple of FBI shots too.
But
during this year, I mean, is that a year from?
Oh yeah, 90. That's what I'm saying. Is if you're looking at him in 91, when was the first? Oh, that was 10 years later. I don't know what he was doing in 91. Who knows? Oh, he was doing with Charlie Sheen doing the Oliver Stone deal.
Yeah, platoon. Yeah.
And he was weird looking
He looked like he was 50 then.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm trying to think of what I've seen. Like, To Live and Die in L.A. was 85.
Fly to the Intruder. Oh,
Last Temptation of Christ. I swear to God, I don't know. Oh, Wild at Heart, Bobby Peru. He played, that was the year before Point Break. And there was no way seen him as a...
There he is in Platoon. I just put a picture in there. There's no way he's Johnny Utah. No way. Yeah. Not a chance. So I'm not sure I buy that one.
Not 91. Not 91. He could have done it another year.
Nice try, IMDb, but you failed again. Okay.
Called BS.
We have to try to see what you thought was my gross moment of the movie.
Oh, I know it. I totally know it. Okay. It's the fact that dude, there was no way that dude could have written thank you on his own butt. Someone else did it.
It's a good
Someone else. Someone else had to write thank you on his butt with that guy's anus pointed directly at them.
I did not even think about that.
It's close, but that's that one's up there. It's on my list. It's not
Was it the beer and Cheerios?
Yep, that was it.
Oh, really? Yep. That's hilarious. The beer and Cheerios. I was going to say it was going to be Gary Busey gnawing down on that meatball sub, but that's pretty good.
That sounded so good, by the way. That meatball sub.
Two, I need two.
Yeah, two, Utah. Two.
Give me two.
Give me two, Utah.
Give me two.
But Cheerios and beer is too much oats. Like, that's
too
just
much oats.
That's a lot of oats.
Oat beer.
I just thought, you know what, dude, that's wrong. Don't be doing
that. Starch. Yeah.
That whole scene was kind of weird anyway. First of all, Utah pulled out of his dentist utensils and was looking in, and we had a Red Hot Chili Pepper in there. He was spazzing out. I couldn't tell if he was having a seizure, if he was jerking off or what he was doing. It was weird.
He was just listening to some Red Hot Chili Peppers music and right. beating his chest.
Yeah. And then it rolled over to the lady who was taking a shower, who conveniently was silhouetted washing her hair so her, you know, her perkness could all be seen. It was just, the whole thing was just weird.
You're saying she was using perk.
Let's just say I used a lot of magic points up at that point. I was definitely I was spending them like a big spender.
And those guys, I mean, come on, they got all this hardware and artillery and amazing guns and grenade launchers and stuff like.
And why was he telling them to hide the stuff? They had guns out. He had like all these guns, and they're all holding them. And it's like, oh, hide the stuff, hide what stuff? What does it matter? They got you. You got guns right now. What do you think?
Yeah, you got
like
a freaking army depot in this place, in this crappy apartment. Where seriously, you surf all day, and then what? What are you doing after that? Beating up on dudes that are trying to shower, and that's it. That's your job. That's your day.
And is the FBI department so fragmented that there's not a way they can say, okay, we're going to be doing a raid on this house right here. Oh, don't do a raid because there's actually a guy who's working undercover in there.
Yeah. They didn't seem understaffed at the office, did they?
Such a movie trope, too.
Yeah. The office seemed like they had tons of employees working there. But nope. Got to make sure Johnny Utah and a guy looking for a dog named Scooby are out.
Scooby, crack me up. It's like, Scooby, have you seen a dog?
Have you seen my dog?
No dog.
Have you seen my dog? Yeah.
Like no dog. No dog.
Tear out your endocrine system. Yeah.
So, Scott, did you catch the trivia about how Swayze was a liar about being a surfer?
No. I
mean, you mentioned the training that they did in Kauai, but there's a guy here named Dennis Jarvis. He has a surf shop in Hermosa Beach. He's the guy who trained Swayze and Keanu and Tank Girl to surf, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Swayze's widow had an auction earlier this year for some memorabilia from his movies. And Dennis Jarvis, the surfing guy, came along and did some interviews because he had trained Swayze how to surf. And he said very clearly that when he met Patrick Swayze for the first time, Patrick Swayze said, "I know how to surf," and that Patrick Swayze had gotten an extra $500,000 in payment in his contract for the movie because he knew how to surf.
Skills.
And then Dennis Jarvis finds out not only does Swayze not know how to surf, Swayze can't surf without some accommodation because it hurts his sternum when he lays down on the board.
Mm.
So
Dennis Jarvis claims that he fashioned a surfboard specifically for Patrick Swayze that you know only he had ever made. Like no one had ever done this before. There's no way Patrick Swayze had ever surfed. No way he would have if not for this board with a huge divot in the middle of it.
And the wetsuit too also had like a padding around the sternum as well.
Interesting.
His sternum now that I think about it, his shirtless Swayze's got a sternum problem. There's a big old thing I'm looking at right there in this photo
All these years, like 8 years after Swayze's dead, Dennis Jarvis is out there calling him a dirty liar.
I don't find that offensive. Who hasn't lied
for $500,000? I do it all
for an application. I would lie in a minute for an application.
Yeah, totally.
Do I know how to do that? Absolutely. I'm the best.
Yeah.
You've never totally seen anybody so good.
I could totally write JavaScript. To do your website.
Yeah.
Can I have a minute on the internet? Thanks.
He was how old here? Probably in this thing, late 30s?
30 something, 35, 38, something like that.
Yeah. He was a force, man. I like.
Was there a couple points, by the way, in Break where Swayze reminded you of Brushwood for some reason?
toward the end,
facial tics and mannerisms and stuff.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'll give you that. I don't know if we should ever tell Brushwood that, but yes,
there was something. We don't need him like crowing about that bullshit.
Yeah, we don't need we don't need him and his crew, his army of weirdos to get up all up in our shit.
Okay, I'm not going to say that because some of his army of weirdos listen to the show.
That's true. No, he didn't. You're not wrong.
Switch gears. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Switch my gears.
I'm going to switch the gears and get out of there. So did I miss any other Swayze movie trivia? Because I caught that he said, you know, he commented on Keanu Reeves. He commented on Utah's board like an old 57 Chevy used to have, which he had in Dirty Dancing.
Right.
And also there was another one I caught, the restaurant, which was Patrick's Roadhouse. Did I miss anything else?
I don't think so.
No, but I think that place is actually called Patrick's Roadhouse.
Yeah,
right.
It's on the 101 or whatever the beach to the Pacific Coast Highway is. And I've been there and I've eaten it. I don't know if I've had shrimp and chips, but I have eaten there. And it's a big biker. Have you been there, Randy? It's like a big biker place.
I've driven past it. It's in Santa Monica.
What about the scene?
There was a big motorcycle driver in that scene.
Well, what about the scene where somebody said, "Hey, Bodie, what's your favorite feral animal?" And he yelled, "Wolverines!"
I did miss that one.
Yeah, that was another reference that maybe you missed.
Or when you know they're talking about the how the surfers disappear and Busey says, "They're ghosts. They're ghosts, man."
Well,
that was the stupidest movie connector point I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he was making a ghost. He was making Ghost during this or something. There was some.
No, he had just done Ghost.
Oh, was that what it was? Okay.
All right. But that scene was the stupidest movie connector. That was such a. It's like, how did I figure out they were the bad guys? Oh, because he mooned somebody, and then and then she keys him in with a word that ghost, and then.
Nothing ever came with a hair pulling that they went and did where they just went around and freaking assaulted people for their hair piece.
Oh, no
well, they ran to the lab, but then they said it was supposed to be this beach. And I'm like, they never really follow through.
Oh, the hair sample was just to figure out that level of arsenic.
Right.
in the water. selenium and boron were, you know, specific to the specific beach.
And right. Speaking of bending the plot a little bit, I really couldn't get behind the fact that he still went skydiving with him. I mean, there was a scene where he didn't shoot Bodhi because he knew it was him.
No, he had to know. I agree 100%.
They both knew. I mean, they had to both know. You shouldn't have played it like that if you didn't want us to think they both know who they were.
During the, basically after the fourth time the movie is rolling around Grebby's knee going, no.
Yeah. My convenient knee injury that keeps me from doing stuff.
I mean, exactly. It was clear, it was obvious at that point that Swayze knew he was.
Sure.
I guess
there wasn't enough doubt
did Keanu not know who he was?
Right.
That's the question. Like, if he didn't know, then
how would he not know? I mean, because he stared him in the eyes and he didn't shoot because he saw it in his eyes.
Yeah,
I'm like,
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hole. By the way, Randy said something at the very top of the show that I forgot I had this tab open and I just noticed it. I do not mean to change gears this abruptly, but Randy mentioned the Baba Yaga earlier Ibbot said, what's the Baba Yaga? I didn't know either, so I looked it up. It's a supernatural being or one of a trio of sisters of the same name who appears as a deformed and or ferocious-looking witch. The Baba Yaga flies around in a mortar, wields a pestle, and dwells deep in the forest in a hut usually described by standing on chicken legs.
So,
isn't that cool?
I don't eat the skins.
Does Keanu Reeves play the Baba Yaga in another movie? Or
John Wick. He is referred to by all the Russian guys.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know what it meant either. It's a Slavic folklore thing, which makes sense because those guys are Slavic, you know, Russian.
That makes sense.
Makes sense.
Man, come on, guys.
I know. We're all a little slow here.
I wanted to go around the table and talk about the dumbest thing in the film, because there's several spots like the convenient broken knee that where you're just like, this is only happening right now to advance the plot. It's not, this is so dumb that
I have one
characters bad. For me, it's when Keanu goes to get a sandwich and misses the whole point of their stakeout.
Yeah.
You know, precisely.
I mean, it's so comedic. It pulls up behind them. They jump out with the mask. He's standing there ordering stuff. It's dumb. It was pretty lame.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. But I gotta say though, the Reagan, LBJ, Carter, all the masks, the Dick Nixon masks, all that stuff. Something so creepy about them smiling and grinning through all that. Like,
it's
really weird and really sticks out to me. Like, my number one memory of the movie before this viewing was that at some point Reagan is wielding a gas nozzle and is spraying fire from it. And I couldn't remember what the context was.
Such an awesome scene.
Yeah.
It's such an awesome scene.
So cool. Mm-hmm. And the way they
is
referring to themselves as, you know, the presidents and stuff. There's a game on Steam called Payback? No. Crap.
Right, Payback is Payday. Right? Payback, that's the one. Yeah, they wear, that's the part two. They wear all the masks.
Yeah, when the part one, too, they wear these clown masks. And the second one, you actually get some DLC where you wear president's masks. But it's like inspires you to think of cool ways to do a robbery.
But I questioned that scene because I was like, shouldn't Carter be out there wielding the gas pump? I mean, wasn't the 70s more
the gas crisis?
Yeah.
Wasn't that more of a... Yeah. I wasn't sure because I wasn't saying, or was it just like, oh, we got so much gas, we're going to burn it during the Reagan era because, you know, we're just like that. I don't know. Now, the stupid part that I did not like was actually involved because the other guys kind of did an okay impression of some of the presidents, but the first thing Patrick Swayze does when he jumps up as Reagan and goes, "Hello, governor," or something like that. And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, get your effing hands in the air, you effing effers. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, tear down this wall that I'm going to stand on and give me all your money or something like that.
Do your best, Reagan. "Hello, governor." Yeah. I'm like, what is that?
Right. Well, Nixon had the best lines as far as that goes.
One. That's easily like the of all of those. Like, do a Lyndon B. Johnson impersonation, somebody. Right. You can't do one and have it be recognizable. Yeah.
You could do one.
Well, you could do one. No one would.
Who's going to call you?
All I remember him ever saying was, "I will not run, nor will I seek re-election." I mean, that's it. Like that. What else did he ever say? He said dumb shit like, well, Vietnam is a great thing or whatever. Like, he's not quotable, that guy.
There's some good trivia there, though. The members of the surfer gang die in the order of the presidencies, the tenures of those four presidents.
Oh, shut up.
I don't think that was intentional, because we didn't know when Reagan was going to die or Carter, right?
Well, no, it doesn't matter when the presidents die. It's when they they were presidents.
Oh. Right?
Chronological order of
their presidencies. Yeah.
Right.
Which
right.
is kind of great. If they didn't mean to, it's even better. That's
Because Carter's still alive.
Yeah, but to say that's not right. Yeah.
Maybe the best ex-president ever. That guy's great, man. Mm-hmm. Building houses for homeless people and freaking traveling everywhere and like securing and peace
deals. Peanut butter.
Yeah, the peanut butter. He invented peanut butter, everybody. That's where Jimmy Carter's famous.
George Washington Carter. Right.
Mixing up my history. Gonna do it right here.
Yeah, why not? Chicken the Bucket. I got one of them. For me, hold on. Let me hit it. I thought about it being the kid at the surf shop that looked like one of the
Culkin brothers. Oh, yeah, he just showed up all. And he was somebody. Who was that?
Well, he looked like a Culkin brother, but he's not. He's like something else, and he's not working now. He hasn't done anything since 99, but I looked him up. I tried to find what he was famous for, because he really looked familiar, but I think I thought was just like one of Culkin's brothers. Anyway, I was going to say him, but whatever. He was there for a reason, and he did his job. For me, it was whoever is chartering the plane.
Especially the guy at the end, right? Yeah. Like, I just had a bunch of dead people in my plane get shoved out, and a guy was held at gunpoint. But I'm going to go back and land in Malibu and then go have some subs.
Yeah, it's all in a day's work. See you guys around later. Like, that to me was very Chicken the Buckety. But also, didn't Kiedis not die?
No, he just got shot in the foot.
Right. I feel we didn't get any closure there. That may be my bias. It's my bias because I thought he was in the whole movie. For whatever reason, Anthony Kiedis was all over this movie in my memory. And he's not. He's barely in it. Like, it's the most cameo of cameos ever. In fact, I'm a little disappointed that my memory is that bad.
Looking through the cast of this movie, I'm just blown away by the male to female ratio. It is all dudes. And they had to shoehorn in a couple of naked ladies in the FBI bust. In order to, you know what I'm saying? Like, in order to just have a woman appear ever in this
movie. They pulled them right out of the Red Hot Chili Peppers music videos on MTV.
Probably.
I'll tell you what's scary.
It was directed by a woman.
Yeah.
You've basically got Lori Petty, the main female character. You've got two naked women running around or bikini clad women running around the FBI house. And then you've got the other woman working at the FBI who helps him locate the information.
Maybe James Cameron was like super insistent on the story direction. It was like, I don't want any ladies in here, honey. And she's like, I want more women. And that's why
more
they fought.
Women. I like Gloria Mann. I'm going through the IMDb. She was fierce woman. I'm assuming she was the one.
Is she the naked one? Because I'm telling you right now, if I'm doing a bust at a place or whatever, and there is a feral, angry, naked woman fighting me, that's scary as shit.
Knife in the back business. Yeah.
Oh, that's what was so funny about her character. At first, I had sympathy for her because I'm like, oh no, she was in the shower and these dudes bust in. And, you know, Keanu Reeves is in her shower room, so she starts beating him up. I'm like, okay, so maybe she's not bad. Maybe she's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Then the next scene, she's like stabbing a dude right in the FBI. And I'm like, no, okay, she knows.
Yeah, but she's just, a fully, frontally, nakedly lady. Running
nakedly
around with
boobies flying at you.
Yeah, knives in the air, screaming is scary. I don't like that at all. It freaked me out. I didn't like it.
Well, it was super gratuitous. Like, what are the odds? You know?
Low,
like,
very low.
If you're busting into a house that has like six people in it, that two of them are women and they're both naked. Like, I don't know. So gratuitous.
It totally was. But man, and she had a tattoo that was scary as hell, too. I don't know. I'm afraid of her. I'm
afraid. You should be afraid. Anybody slinging arms like that, you just don't know where that's going to land.
Yeah, she was, whoever that actress is, though, it's like, that was just crazy. There was also a scene where Lori Petty took off because she figured out he was an FBI agent, and she went running to the other room, and she's just wearing a shirt, and when she ran, it flipped up. She has a white butt problem. It is the whitest butt. It is so white, you guys. Like, freaking, I don't know what's whiter. A bag of flour, maybe, is a little whiter than this.
So
it's something else to see. Anyway, sorry.
I want to go back to this movie's Edward Furlong, because I can't figure out who it was. Like,
oh, the kid?
Yeah, the kid. Like, he's so similar to Edward Furlong in Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Who was it? What's his name?
We're just talking about the kid at the surf shop.
Christopher Pettit, right?
Christopher Pettit.
Christopher Pettit. He was in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. He was in a couple episodes of Doogie Howser.
They give the character a name. He has some lines.
15 versus the 25.
15.
He was born in 70. Oh, he died. Drug overdose. Jeez.
Oh, he died. Oh, wow.
Yeah, there you go.
He really is this movie's Edward Furlong.
He died in 2000 at the age of 24. After his death, his acting coach, Kevin McDermott, founded a scholarship fund in his name, blah, blah, blah. He was in stuff from...
blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
He was in... Last thing he was in was in Judging Amy in 99, and then OD'd the next year. Well, looked like a kid with a career going.
I want to make this complaint again when we do Star Trek Connections, so we'll come back to that.
Yeah, because that he was in Star Trek. I don't want to give it away or anything, but he was totally in Star Trek. All right, well, I'm gonna say I think it's probably a good time for some Clippy Clips. I've got a number of them here, and they're all fantastic, really, and the movie's full of great lines. So I'm going to start playing them. Let's begin with this one, which is how much percentage of Utah is a good percent? Well, we find out here.
100% Utah.
100% Utah. There you go. 100%. Well done. All right, blue. What's this? All right.
Hey, you're a real blue flame special, aren't you, son?
Oh, I like that line. Blue flame special. What does that mean? Is that just there? They couldn't say blue light because Kmart.
He's burning very brightly.
Okay. Blue Flame Special. All right, here's the line where he's full of gum. I'm sure I heard this right.
Okay.
So here you go.
Young, dumb, and full of cum.
Yeah, gum, right? Gum?
Gum, yes. Like so he's terrible. Got packs of Wrigley's in every shirt pocket, jacket pocket, pants pocket.
Yeah.
And
in his
and
mouth?
He doesn't spit them out. Like he chews them and then swallows them.
It's so weird. It's
really bad for you.
Yeah, it's
really bad. By the way, Urban Dictionary says blue flame special, derogatory term that borrows from both the concept of blue plate special and the practice of blue flaming to suggest a generic knucklehead.
Oh.
Most likely Keanu Reeves.
But wait, what is blue flaming?
So a blue flame is a young person who has a lot of energy.
Okay.
They're burning really brightly. They're gonna burn rapidly.
Okay.
The blue flame is the hottest of the flame, right?
Is it? White flame was the hottest of the flame.
Well, yeah, but
yeah, but you know,
like when you're looking at a gas flame, like the very center closest in is blue, and then it gets yellow and orange as it goes further out.
Okay.
So I think that's like the young part of the flame, and as you get older, you're more orange and red.
I see. Well, I'm very orange
look
now.
At that red flame guy.
Yeah, still burns though. Still hurts. Still hot. Just got just a little less.
He's full of fell energy, is why. It's green.
There you go. I wrote here that Busey is always like this. Let's see what I meant.
I've been in the field for 22 years. I fired my piece over 19 times in the line of duty. I got no idea what a blind man fetching bricks from the bottom of the pool has got to do with being a special agent.
Oh, I love it, dude. He could talk all day. Just love it. That's like they almost just said, hey, just say things you would normally say, Busey. And they probably he probably brought up the brick thing. And then they went, you know what? We'll make a scene around this and put bricks in the pool because we love him so much.
And that actually leads you to believe that it's brilliant. They didn't have any great acting in the film because that way, when you have this kind of like off the cuff delivery, he could just write his own lines. He could just say whatever he wants and we'll keep what works.
I would love a whole movie of improv Busey. Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh.
Totally.
Here he is losing it.
Listen, you snot-nosed little shit. I was taking shrapnel and K-Sod while you were crapping in your hands and rubbing it on your face.
That had to be a little improv, right?
I think a little improv because who does that? Like, that's not like a thing that kids do.
No, they don't.
If your partner shook you as hard as Busey shakes Reeves there, I actually wondered if they had a problem like on the set, like if you got to go to HR now and talk about we're making a movie, but Busey just attacked me and shook me so hard.
Yeah, it's like a Busey. It's pretty good. All right, here's what? I don't know.
This is for little rubber people who don't shave yet.
Oh, I don't remember what that was for. Little rubber people that don't shave yet?
Like young kids.
Is that what it is?
This is for little rubber people who don't shave yet.
Okay.
What was the context of that? Was that
I don't know.
There was some made up stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
It's better without context.
Okay. I don't remember that at all. Anyway, here's how much he's produced.
Over the last 2 weeks, you two have produced exactly squat.
Oh man, look at Perry go squat. Off, man. That's great.
Yeah. Angry acting.
I wrote here his acting would get better with age.
Colin, this is Utah. Get Angelo out of there. They're pulling out a f***ing arsenal.
Oh, he is so bad in this, you guys.
So frustrated during this scene.
You just triggered a memory. So I was a teenager, and I wanted to see this movie because everyone was saying that it had the most uses of the F word in all history of movies.
Mm.
I was told you have to go see that. I don't know how old I was. I was told to go see the movie because of the F word, like that it was going to be chock full of the F word. So I noted every time someone said that while I'm watching it this time.
For your future job for the MPAA, right?
It was a lot.
Did your number jive with the IMDb 105 number? That's what they have.
I didn't count. Mm. I'm just saying I noticed every time. So I'm like, wow, this word is used a lot for a movie from 91.
Yeah, they were into it. They were way into the F-bomb. I wrote here late 80s for sure, whatever that is.
Hangtown Baptist, like totally right, dude.
Oh my gosh, that just about put me in the grave. I almost
Tell we were talking earlier about how this movie seems to be directed more towards the younger crowd. And I think it's the crowd that's like supposed to be on Keanu's side when he goes in and and is talking to the chief. I'm more on the chief's side, like, oh, that's so irritating. Get out of my office.
Right.
Yeah, this is for
bounce writing checks that I just don't want to cat.
Gen X. This is a Gen Xer thing where everyone's mostly slackers like Bodie and his crew, or you're the one kid who made it through the academy, but just won't, you know, give respect to the people in charge, and the older generation's cranky with you. Like this is so just like generation gap obvious, you know. But what are you gonna do? Yeah. All right, here's speak into the microphone, Squid. Oh, this is good.
That was so weird.
Yeah, this is great. Here you go.
Speak into the microphone, Squid Brain.
It was when he was holding his gun in his face and said, speak into the microphone, Squid Brain.
I did not get that. That matter of fact, that whole lawnmower just pissed me off. The lawnmower just pissed me off.
I agree. I just was like, all right, sir, do you not notice the SWAT van and people running all over the place?
Shoot the lawnmower when you can shoot the dude.
Yeah, that's lame. Hey, look who's in this movie.
The Cowboys. The real Cowboys, right? Batman and Robin. You know what this is, huh? You know what this is, punk? This two keys. Uncut crystal meth.
Uncut.
There was a third one, but I lost it. I don't know where
we don't know where it went. See you guys next week. Thanks. He's this would have been at the height of his drug use too, like seriously hardcore at that time, I think. Anyway, whatever. I like that guy. He's an a-hole, but I like him. Here's a way you don't want to talk about food.
I'm so hungry I could eat the ass end out of a dead rhino. I should have had you get me three of these things.
You should have said three. You said two like 100 times.
That's so good.
Two. He wanted two. Yeah.
Two, Utah.
Hey, Utah!
Yeah, hey, Utah, two. Some sweet dialogue here.
Ever done this before?
No. But I've seen it on TV.
100% pure adrenaline. Other guys snort for it, jab a vein for it, and all you gotta do is jump.
Sure, it's a blast, but listen, I sort of screwed my knee up yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I noticed you limping, but hey, don't worry about it, bro. Don't worry at all, because we're not gonna land on land.
Oh, well, fine then.
Okay, all right.
Land on land. That's the very definition of land.
Yeah,
if you don't say I'm going to sea on sea. Yeah, right. We're going to lake on that lake right there.
That's a good point. You could say I will see you on the sea. You could say that.
Right.
You could say that.
Yeah.
It's weird that they bust into his house in the middle of the night, and he's got a loaded gun at the end of his bed, and he doesn't just walk back into his bedroom, pick it up, and start shooting.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't get that. I don't understand why he doesn't just start blowing them all away. Like,
at that stage, the girl's going to be okay because he's not going to do anything until he hears from Bodie, right? Like, Bodie's the trigger.
But he doesn't have enough proof at this point to prove it was them.
I don't know. So, I feel like this is against all sorts of rules. He's not supposed to put this relationship
on the street.
Right.
Like, this makes no sense that he an FBI agent who is being attacked in the middle of the night, these guys barging into his house, doesn't just go get his gun and shoot him.
Yeah, that should have been John Wick right there. Here's Brian Nibbett's favorite line. Here you go.
I am an FBI agent.
Oh my gosh.
This is the best line in the whole film.
So bad.
They got that one in one take, by the way. That's good. All right.
Moving on.
That was painful.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to yell it more because it doesn't sound convincing. Try a louder version of it, Keanu, for this next take.
Here's some Foley of a guy getting hit in the gut at the bank, and it cracked me up. So here you go. You hear that? One more time. Little buddy.
Oh, right. Speaking of unexplainable things, why did they go for the vault on this last job?
Was it to get more money so he could go to Australia and do his
thing? Yeah, it was supposed to be his last job now that they had not been even close to getting caught along the way, but now that Utah had pretty much cornered them. That was the difference, right?
It was also just to show that even though he had this zen attitude about everything and everything was all worked out in his head, Bodhi, that is, that if he delayed, it showed that he had cracks in his ideas. And I kind of get why they did it, but it was pretty dumb. But whatever, man, there's a big vault full of money. What are you going to do? Right. I do like the bank manager's like, okay, Janice, here's the key. You do it. Like, dude,
suck it, Janice.
Yeah, man up a little there, buddy. All right, take your hands off me.
Take your hands off me right now.
Yeah. Right now. It's pretty good. Here's a good one.
I was in this bureau when you were still popping zits on your funny face.
Wow. There's a lot of lines that he delivers. Like, I was doing this while you were blank, blank,
right.
Blank.
Right. Yep. Because this is what old people do. I was doing this while you were doing that.
Yeah.
While you're still wearing short pants and riding dinosaurs or something.
I freaking love him. All right, there's more.
Why don't you astonish me, shitface?
Yeah, why don't you astonish me, shitface? That's pretty good. Busey, what? Here. Oh, I love that. This is when Busey gets shot and he makes this horrible sound. So listen to this. It's awful. Oh. And then he follows it up with this.
Wow.
I know. All right. Here's the longest no we've heard in a long time.
No!
That's a long one.
That was a good one. That was.
Oh, yeah. I got so irritated. I think that was another one of those times where they did this stupid thing all throughout this movie where they'd show slow motion video and then Foley knew audio of them talking or saying stuff over it. So it's like when they're surfing, they're going, whoa, and yeah. But it's not like slowed down with the slowed down stuff. So it's like,
I didn't like that either.
But when they're delivering the lines, they have to extend it to kind of match up with their mouths. Yeah. You did it, Johnny. Thank you. I think that was one of those with the no.
Why wasn't the surfing in this movie better? Like, if of all the things to sort of not do much of or do well, I don't understand why this surfing.
Well, the stuff was not good.
To surfers.
Yeah, that's true. But didn't you think the opening sequence of him out in the rain doing the shooting range and then it being intercut with Bodhi, or I assume it was Bodhi doing surf stuff? That stuff was pretty cool. Like, for a hot minute there, they were doing that, but then they just never did it again. It just never.
I mean, yeah. I'm just saying that as far as like action sports go, you know, extreme sports and stuff, this is a skydiving movie. It bugs me when I got really into surfing movies, and specifically like documentary style surfing movies, over the last like 15 years.
Yeah.
And they got real good also. Like, they, you know, suddenly there were movies like Riding Giants that are amazing. Mm-hmm. And in my memory, Point Break was a surfing movie. And, and there's great surfing movies now, too, like Chasing Mavericks is one of the best ever.
Yeah. And Surfing Nazis is great.
No.
Watch Surf Nazis. They're great.
But in my memory, Point Break was this surf movie. And then I'm watching it and there's only a couple of minutes of actual surfing in the whole movie. And one of the 2 minutes is at night, which makes no sense and isn't interesting at all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. I agree.
It was a letdown.
I agree. Would be good.
Right. I think with actors who aren't necessarily surfers and who are lying on their interview, I guess you kind of had to do what you had to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You lied on the application.
Right.
Fine.
We won't even have surfing in the movie.
All right, here's another dumb thing.
Vaya con Dios.
Yeah, that's dumb. What does that mean, actually, in Spanish?
Go with God.
Go with God.
Oh, go with God. All right. All right.
Vaya or con Dios.
Well, his delivery seems lacking to me.
Right. And in this case, it actually meant go not surf because from the scene, he doesn't even get up. He just like immediately gets wiped out.
Yep. That's all true. All right. Here's one other clip. I don't know what it is.
We'll get him when he comes back in.
Oh, this guy. So it was like a cop. And there was something about, he's going to get him when he gets back. He sounded like some old cowboy. Like,
right. We'll get him when he comes back in.
Like the old miner in a western.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah. 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 The canary died. We don't think we should go in that mine. It's like that kind of guy. I don't know why I did a canary in the cold.
Pointless dialogue, too. Been better for them just to stand there quietly.
Yeah. No point. We got stare. It. Yeah. We totally got it. They didn't have to explain.
You already said those words.
Yeah. Totally. Hey, look at this. This is the Film Sack Checklist. When in doubt, throw a dog at your pursuer. Check. High school knee injury makes for bad on foot chases. Check. And finally, dude bro as shit. Check.
Dude bra.
Dude bra. So I never heard from Daryl for Trek stuff, but there are a bunch. Specifically that kid we were talking about earlier, Randy, was in TNG. Had a role there.
15.
Yeah, and again, his name was Christopher Pettier.
Yeah.
TNG, it was his first ever appearance in IMDb. His character was named Boy. And I'm like, why can't you give him a name?
Yeah, name that kid. Name
Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yeah, something. Future surfboard shop keep. That's what he should have been called. Lori Petty was also in an episode of Voyager.
Yes, she was. She played Nos in the episode Gravity.
Yeah, which was actually pretty good. And I'm sure there are others, but those were the two I could surface search and kind of sort of find. I don't have the
You
stuff
surfed the search? What did you just say? What was that you said?
I searched the surf. I surfed the internet.
Surf.
Yeah, bro. I bodied. What did they say? What did they say bodie meant? I forgot now. It meant something, right?
It was short for Bodhisattva, which is like what's a Steely Dan song?
Oh.
No, it's also a... Like a Hindu god or something?
Yeah,
or
I think it's a Hindu, yeah.
No, it's exactly. Buddhist.
Is it Buddhist?
That's it.
Buddhist, okay. Yeah.
Bindu, I call it. It's a combo of things, Bindu. All right, well, there you go. Well done, Lori Petty. For soundtrack grade, I would give it an N for 90s. It was fine. It did what it needed to do. This was, what's his name? Just left my head. Hold on. It was music by... He's a famous guy. Shit.
He's a famous music guy. He does music.
Mark Isham. That's it.
Yeah, right.
He used to... He made some cool new agey albums that I used to buy because I was kind of into that for a while.
This had a good soundtrack. We mentioned the Rat song earlier, but there's also a great Concrete Blonde song when you first see Lori Petty's character that was a B-side to the Joey single. And the only way you could get that song was by buying... the Joey CD single, which I did because I really like that song.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then that Rat song at the end is actually a pretty good Rat song, but it's the only place it ever appeared. They wrote it for the movie.
Wow.
So you cannot get it on a Rat album.
Surprising there's no Red Hot Chili Peppers on the soundtrack, right? I mean, we had one of the guys right there.
Yeah.
Could you sing us a song?
Yeah.
How about Rap It?
Give it away now. That would have worked, except that was later, I think.
So Mark Isham was a hard-working composer in the early 90s. He did like 100 movies. That includes Fire in the Sky, Cool World, River Runs Through It, Time Cop.
Time Cop.
Some things we've seen on FilmSack.
Anything now? Let's see. Mark Isham.
He's been doing TV a lot.
Oh, that new Cloak and Dagger is, he's doing all the music for that. That's exciting.
Yeah, he scored an episode of Black Mirror, a new one.
Yeah, new season, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, tons of TV stuff. Wow. Yep, you're right. I'm very busy still, like lots. Like 2017, 2016, 2015, just full of work. Dude's a busy, busy feller. Well, good job, Mark Isham. May you ever find peace and... Oh, he wrote the soundtrack for Blade. I like Blade.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I knew I'd seen the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mark Isham. There you go. There you go. Hey, Twitter post. This is where we sum it all up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Point Break. Brah, if you want the ultimate brah, you've got to be willing to pay the ultimate price, brah. It's not tragic, brah, to die doing what you love, brah.
Oh, I like
it. Hey, brah. Yeah. How do you spell brah? Is it B-R-A or B-R-A-H?
Yeah. I always thought it was B-R-U-H, but that's more bruh.
Bruh. Yeah, that's what people actually say. In Point Break, they say brah. In real life, people say bruh.
Yeah. Or in my life, nothing says that or else I punch you in the eye.
Hey, Rick and Morty say that a lot, don't they?
Do they? I don't know.
Well, Mark Harmon says that. Or not Mark Harmon. Dan Harmon says that a lot. Mark Harmon didn't say that on Jagger. But Dan Harmon says that a lot, like in the descriptions for the Rick and Morty episodes. When you look at the descriptions.
Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't know he was doing that. I should look at those more. All right, let's move on to Brian Dunaway.
Point Break, like getting moist from all the wetness and hotness and stuff. Ooh. Lightness counts, asshole.
Nice. You've made good use of your 280 characters. Good job.
Moist.
And finally, Brian Ippett.
Point Break. This movie is gnarly, and not in the Jeff Spicoli way, but more in the Busey's colon after eating two meatball subs way.
Ugh, all I can think about is how gassy it'd be in the car. Just like,
no, don't think about that.
I try not to, but I couldn't help it. Oh, look at this. This just handed to me. It's a little piece of paper. Actually, this is my ticket from my second viewing of Star Wars The Last Jedi. Anyway, these are the alternate titles. It was almost called The Flaming Reagan. Or
delicious baked beverage or baked dessert.
That's right. Beverage. Or, now this could have multiple meanings, but it was almost called Joint Break.
Oh.
Because a bunch of stoners trying to rob a thing. Or
his knee.
See? That's right. And maybe you could have the marijuana to help you with the knee. I know what's going on here. All right. Email time. We got an email from Bernie who wrote in and said this at filmsack@gmail.com.
I'm not dead.
No, Bernie is not dead. Should have voted for me, he says.
Quit attaching my arms to a pulley and raising them up when I'm pretending to play Monopoly.
Even better. It says this. Hey, guys. I really enjoyed your film sack on Gremlins. I've seen this film 4 times, and there's so much that I forgot. One of the weirdest things about Rand Peltzer, the inventor, is the business card that he hands to the old guy in the Asian store. It's like a 3x5 card. No one has cards that big. Also, he says, even when I saw this as a kid, I was thinking about how my parents would never tolerate me being an inventor after that much failure. You really have to suspend your disbelief and wonder when Lynn is going to say, Randy, could you please get a job now? I assume Rand is short for Randy. I read it that way. Anyway, also, as soon as you can, you guys need to sack Gremlins too. The CEO that is modeled after Trump is John Glover. His name is Clamp, and the company logo is a clamp crushing the earth. I don't remember much from it. He just said it was a real job, but it was a real jab at corporate America. Keep it up. Keep it going, fellas. Bernie. Well, all right then. I think Gremlins 2 is definitely on our want to do.
Oh, it's so good. And I watched a little YouTube video that reminded me how much better it was than I even remember.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Generally speaking, people like 2 a lot. I remember at the time reviews were kind of split, but all kind of in retrospect, kind of how the whole world will be about Last Jedi in about 10 years. Everyone loves it now. So just like they were with, by the way, all that Last Jedi hubbub, went back and read a ton of audience exit poll stuff and reviews and stuff from the time of Empire Strikes Back, the one that everyone universally says is the best. People hated on that freaking movie. I wonder if
my mind about all that was all the people saying they didn't like how it was edited, which was new to them at the time.
Right.
And I found it really hard to get my mind around. Wow. There was a time when people went to a movie and were surprised and annoyed that a film was cut together the way these movies were. Like, to me, it's that they're actually kind of pedestrian now when you watch them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was 9 or 10 or whatever I was, and I didn't like it either. It seemed too dark to me, and all the good guys were losing. It wasn't until later I went, oh, wait a minute. This is actually really, this is like a good movie, not just a good Star Wars movie. Like, this is a straight up good quality, great movie. I hate to tell everybody, but I think that's where Next Jedi is going to be in a few years. People are going to look back and go,
You know, the way Last Jedi ends is so hopeful and uplifting that I feel like if you come away from that last part and go, there is something, like, you need to get therapy. Like, there's something really wrong with you.
You're dead inside.
if you're not uplifted and optimistic at the end of that movie.
I've seen it twice, and the second viewing was even, I'd love the second viewing for whatever reason. You know, Star Wars, for what it is now in our lives, you do kind of have to do the whole anticipation viewing, and then you got to go back later and get it for real.
Yeah.
And man, I freaking loved it. I loved it. So if you're listening to us and you're thinking, oh, I've been on the fence because the whole world seems to not want me to go, just go. Go see it.
Who cares what the world thinks?
Magical and good. I liked it.
Right.
One more email from Rob from Allen, Texas. Allen!
Rob.
Where's Allen, Texas, anyway, Randy?
Allen, Texas. Of Point Break, the new Point Break remake. His name is Allen, Texas.
Didn't even occur to me, but yeah, that makes sense. Well, he says, gentlemen, Boss Baby is so much better than either Who's Talking Now movies. Those were bad, and unfortunately, it would spoil the movie to tell you how the story is being told, which is what makes the movie so good. Definitely a movie for kids. It's cute. We were ripping on Boss Baby, and I guess he's bringing that up. Anyway, he says, I watched the preview for The Void, and it was all I could do. I don't know how you guys sat through it. He says,
I'm with you, dude.
It was pretty
We're
bad.
Dedicated. You're welcome.
He says, however, I do see how you guys get down the rabbit holes on various topics seemingly unrelated to the film. Rob, Allen, Texas. Yeah, no, The Void is off-putting when you even just get a taste of it. But we're here for you guys. We like it when you watch the movies, but you don't have to. And it's more about the discussion we can have about movies anyway, generally. So, yeah.
Right.
Rob, don't worry.
We watch the garbage so you don't have to, kind of thing. No, but we like it when you do with us.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, we extend this thing to ourselves, and it's good for other people to join in, right? Like, I would have never watched The Void if I thought the other three of you weren't also watching it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Exactly. So, like, there's a way, and then sometimes we're surprised. Sometimes we come away going, oh, you know what? I like that. For example, I don't know if we've actually said it today, but I, despite, you know, many misgivings and all the obvious hooch that are in this movie, I think Point Break is an infinitely rewatchable, fun, rad movie, and I'm glad it exists. Like, I think it's great. I don't want to live in a world where there's no Point Break 1. Now, this remake, you know, we'll probably have to do that here so we can have some reference point for balance, that.
Some closure.
I hear bad things, but you know.
Yeah, and there's tons of movies where I'm like, I look back on it. Like, The Electric Horseman is my favorite example. There's no way I'm watching that movie without you guys also watching it. But also, I look back and I'm like, that was actually kind of cool to watch together and talk about. Mm-hmm. And I wish for you, the audience, to have also seen it, because there's just no way you got out of that episode of FilmSack what we did if you didn't see the movie.
I agree. There's an extra level. And so where's my wish for 2018? Because this is not only the last episode of FilmSack of this year, it's also the last Frog Pants show of any kind this year. And then we put 2017 to bed, and we get into bed with 2018, and we see how that is. And we're very excited to do that. I would just encourage everybody, one of your New Year's resolutions, like, all that other stuff is fine. Go to the gym, pay off your debt, blah, blah, blah. All the things you usually put on your list is great. But on that list, put watch the films along with the FilmSack guys, and I promise your listening experience will go up a notch. Even if you just kind of skip through them, even if you sit down and you do, like, okay, I don't want to see the scene.
Have it on in the background while you're doing other things. We're totally fine with that.
Yeah,
we support them.
And we promise to bring, you know, we're always aiming to not, we're not just trying to find crap. Our goal is to find interesting to talk about. And so we'll have plenty that'll be like, oh, that's actually a good movie and everyone should see that again. Or we thought that was a good movie, but it didn't hold up, or, you know, whatever. So 2018, the year the audience watches movies with us, or whatever percentage currently does. That's the goal. Everyone write that down. All right. Okay. Emails can come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. Thank you guys for sending those in. Both Bernie and Alan, may all your New Year's Eves be drunk. All right, let's be done. Oh, what's so next week, which is a new year, we do have a new show coming. What's our episode, Randy? I forgot.
Next week, you better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You've got one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow and watch 8 Mile with us next week.
8 Mile.
And then the following week, this is important, folks. Start making your plans now. Tommy Wiseau's The Room is showing in theaters nationwide on January 10th. We're going to sack The Room after 8 Mile.
Yep. Wow. It's not. It is streaming.
It's our first Fathom Events stack.
Yes. And if you can't see it there, for whatever reason, you're not near an AMC theater or whatever, you can. The whole thing's on YouTube for some reason. So you can see it there and still see it.
I think it's even on Blu-ray.
Yeah, you can get it everywhere. I just don't pay for it unless you're doing the theater thing.
You can get it. You know, you can get it for $11.99 on Prime on DVD. Might as well do that. Make sure you don't get the Brie Larson film about the kidnaps.
Yeah,
the kidnap victims.
Yeah, don't do that.
Very different thing.
Good movie though, but not.
Yeah, yes, yeah. But you'll be lost when we start talking about. You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
I did not hit her. All that stuff's not going to make sense. So anyway, this is going to be great. I can't wait. Next 2 weeks are all lined up. Again, next week, 8 Mile, the Eminem biopic, as some would say, is happening. So be back for that. I know if it's excited. I'm actually excited because I never saw it. So I want to see it and see what's up. And I like, I like Eminem. He's got some rap I like,
Sure.
Get that weird concert I saw once. I saw a concert video where part of the concert video was to talk about his girlfriend or his wife at the time he was having trouble with, and then barf in a toilet. Do you guys remember that?
No.
That was a weird thing. He had a multi-level home built in the stage, but it was like cross-sectioned in half so you could see all the rooms, but then the dividing lines between them, kind of like a dollhouse. Huh. And he's like walking through it, rapping, going, they'll never let it go, and the deal and the Slim Shady and all that. And he's running around and doing his thing. And at some point, he ends up on like the third floor, and he's talking about his girlfriend, and then just purposely turns, sticks his fingers down his throat, and yaks into a toilet as part of the act. And I remember thinking, I don't ever want to see that ever again, Eminem. Marshall Mathers, please don't do that ever again in my life. So anyway. Barfing, not good. All right,
Maybe don't lose yourself that much.
No.
I'm really looking forward to this. I was kind of blown away by Eminem on Saturday Night Live about 6 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, that was really good. It was interesting because they didn't do the typical thing where they give him two music songs. Breaks. Yeah, they just gave him one, and he decided he was going to do like a medley, like the like almost a greatest hits.
So he didn't host. He just did the music. He was the music guy.
He was just a musical guest.
Oh, I should go back and look at
the host was Chance the Rapper. And so you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, Chance the Rapper.
Lauren Michaels, we booked two rappers. What do we do? What do we do?
Well, this is how you take. I don't know why that's his voice, but yeah.
But he was. But Eminem was really strong, and he had Skylar Grey out there doing, like vocals for stuff like "Thank You."
Ultimate songs,
Skylar Grey. Why can't I think of who that is? Skylar.
I like her. She does great stuff.
Well, there you go. Thank you all for being here and listening. We've enjoyed it. Thank you for a great year of Film Sack. That, of course, goes to you, the listening audience, but, of course, all of us here on the show. Awesome stuff. Some of my favorite Film Sack moments, I think, happened in 2017. Who knows why? Maybe 2017's been kind of a weird year. Turns out.
Knows why.
Yeah. Film Sack is a bright spot in otherwise a little bit weird year. But keep on coming back, everybody. We really appreciate it. FilmSack.com is our website. As always, email us, filmsack@gmail.com. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter, @FilmSack. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yes, that's me.
We'll see you next time.
Brah.
I am not an FBI agent.
I threw my badge away.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.